Pete Rose logged more hits in baseball history than anyone else. No one has come close to breaking his record. But he was also at the center of one of the game's biggest scandals, a scandal that changed baseball forever. In the new book, Charlie Hustle, New York Times bestselling author Keith O'Brien chronicles Pete Rose's spectacular rise and fall. Drawing on firsthand interviews with Rose himself and his associates, this is Pete Rose as we've never seen him before. By Charlie Hustle, available wherever books are sold.
This is Virtual Team 360 Podcast with your host, Colette Schultz, owner of Savvy Subcontracting, bringing you interviews with virtual industry leaders. These guests have used the subcontracting concept to turn their team and time into profits. Whether you're the owner or the team member, get ready to listen, learn, and better yet, implement subcontracting strategies to make the most of your own business.
My name is Colette Schultz, also known in the virtual assistant industry for subcontracting. I bring to you industry leaders that have used the subcontracting concept in their own business to profit. And another very unique spin on my podcast is not only are they industry leaders, but they have unique services that they provide that they have to utilize the subcontracting team with. And today I have Jessica Rhodes with me from Interview Connections, and I'm just really excited to have her because it is such a unique service that she provides. So I just want to say thank you, Jessica, for coming on board today.
My pleasure. I'm really excited to be here.
And Jessica and I actually connected, I think, on Facebook, and yeah. I needed a last-minute guest, and she was kind enough to come on board. But she's a great one to have because, like I said, she's got such a unique spin on her services while at the same time using the subcontracting concept. Yeah. But I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jessica. If she could tell us a little bit about herself and her business, I would really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I am the founder and CEO of interviewconnections.com. I started my business about 3 years ago. My first business was actually a virtual assistant business called Entrepreneur Support Services, where I was a subcontractor and business owners and entrepreneurs contracted my services to do various things. I did social media management, client support, and podcast booking. And as my virtual assistant business grew and I got more hours and got more clients, I hit a ceiling of how much money I could make for how many hours I had available. I had a newborn at the time. Now I have two kids. And I wanted to just kind of switch things up. So I created a business called interviewconnections.com. And we're the premier source for booking outstanding podcast guests. We book interviews both for podcasters and we get guest experts booked for interviews on shows in their target market. And so my business is now incorporated and we have a team of independent contractors who help provide and fulfill the service offerings that we offer to our clients.
That is so cool. So let's talk about how the business was born. Mm-hmm. You were a virtual assistant and I'm assuming actually booking the podcast guest was one of your the things you love doing.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Absolutely. I love doing it because, I mean, that's a fun thing about podcast interviews. It's like the fun part of a business. You know, it's a marketing tool, so it's fun and people really liked it. And it was great bringing people together too because I continue to see great relationships are formed when people do podcast interviews. So that's why I really wanted, of all the various offerings that I had as a virtual assistant, I really honed in on podcast interviews and booking interviews because A, I helped people's businesses grow as a result of them doing interviews. And I also saw a lot of people form and grow really great relationships together as a result of me connecting them.
Right. Now, do you have a podcast yourself?
I do. I have two podcasts and I also do a weekly web TV show and I have a blog. So I do a lot of marketing as well in addition to running my business. My podcast is called Roads to Success and that is a weekly interview show and I've been doing that since October 2014. And then I also have a podcast that I co-host, which is called The Podcast Producers. And we do that in seasons. And we're in the middle of season two right now.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Let's talk a little bit about your specific services for your business. Sure. You know, can you just kind of go down some of the services mm-hmm. that you offer to
yeah.
clients?
Yeah. So for podcast hosts, our Great Guest Locator program is where we find and book, we secure interviews with 4 guests per month. So for $297 a month, podcasters get 4 great guests for their show. They tell us what kinds of guests they're looking for, either specific people that they want us to try to book or types of people or types of businesses they want to feature. And our team, our guest bookers works alongside them to secure guests that match that criteria. And then we have our, on the other side of the mic of the business, we have our guest expert memberships. So we have a titanium and a gold membership. So our titanium membership is where we guarantee 4 bookings per month on podcasts in our client's target market. And then we do our gold is where they get 2 interviews a month. And then we have a silver membership, which is a one-time fee of $97. They get in our guest database. They have access to our monthly coaching calls. And so those are basically the 4 main offerings. I also have an a la carte store where they can get my ebook and a one-sheet template, custom one-sheet design. So some kind of a la carte items, but those kind of the great guest locator, finding guests, and then getting clients booked for interviews are the main offerings that we have right now.
Okay. Well, I was just telling Jessica before we met that I have a full-time outside job. And currently, right now, I have 20 less days in my contract. But come July 1st, I'm going to be probably going back to my 260. So I'm kind of panicking trying to get guests so I can get my shows booked. So there again, I mean, never did I imagine that a person could take that specific niche of a service and provide something that people are in need of. So
yeah, finding guests is one of the biggest pain points, and that's one of the reasons that got me to start the business is because I saw that pain point. When I was getting my clients booked, I was reaching out as a virtual assistant, I was reaching out to podcasters and pitching guests, and they said, I need more guests. Who else do you have? Or, you know, can you help me find more guests? And so I listened and I heard that pain point. I said, all right, this is, you know, a lot of people stop podcasting because they can't find guests, and they go through all their friends and then they're like, I need more people. And they don't know where to look and how to ask the guests to be on the show. They don't know how to follow up. So we really save podcasters a lot of time and help them connect with people that they wouldn't have been able to connect with otherwise.
Right, exactly. And I've had a pretty good luck right now with, like, I schedule somebody and knock on wood, but nobody has canceled too much. But I'm also in the first year of my podcast too. So I can imagine that can be an issue at
yeah,
times
definitely.
Too. So, let's talk a little bit about the positions that you have subcontractors fulfill. Can you kind of go down through the scenario that you have of your subcontractors
sure.
right now?
So the main role that I have subcontractors fill is guest booking. So I mean, that's really the main service that we provide is booking podcast interviews. So I have subcontractors who actually book the podcast interviews, and they, you know, work directly with our clients. So guest booking, they, you know, reach out to the podcasters to pitch guests. They find guests for our client shows. So guest booking is a big one. Then I have people that fill the role of client development and sales. So anyone that reaches out to interviewconnections.com or calls us and wants to learn how they can work with us, there's one person on our team right now who handles the sales calls. And then we have a marketing person who does all my social media management. She handles like my Meet Edgar account. She creates a whole bunch of awesome graphics for all of my podcasts and my videos. So I create a ton of content. I do a lot of marketing, but she helps me make sure that it's actually getting out there online and people are finding it and listening to the podcast and reading the blog. So guest booking, sales, and marketing are the 3 main roles that I have filled. And then we have, you know, I have a proofreader because I have somebody that does that writes show notes. So I have somebody that does proofreading. And then I have a couple designers who also help with some more design work. I mean, my marketing person does most of the design work, but I do have somebody else that I occasionally contract design work to.
Wow. And I heard you say show notes. That's the one thing I cringe at, too. I actually have my own ghostwriter, mm-hmm. but she doesn't really, I mean, she just does a summary of for my newsletter, but that is something that I would be probably looking for, too, is somebody to do my show notes, because I don't necessarily enjoy
definitely.
Doing
that. There's a lot of great writers out there who really enjoy doing it. So it's a great and we actually phased out show notes from our service, because one thing that I do as a business owner is I look at all the services and like which are the most profitable, what's the best use of my team's right. time. But I still get them for my show.
Sure. So let's say somebody does come to your business and wants somebody to do show notes. Do you just kind of refer them to somebody that you know that currently offers
that service? Yes. It's literally about a month ago or like 3 or 4 weeks ago that I said I had a couple of clients left that were doing show notes, and I decided to not offer it anymore. And I have a really good friend, Lindsay Phillips, who would be a great guest for you. Actually, I can connect you with her. She has a virtual assistant business called Smooth Sailing Online Support. And she also utilizes the subcontractor model as well. And so she does, she offers show notes to her clients as well. So I've been referring people to her.
Okay. And that's the one nice thing about being a subcontractor too, is you don't have to offer general services. Hone in on the niche that you are good at. And like you said, if you know people's pain points, because you're going to get a lot further by honing in on that niche than
right.
trying to offer it to everybody.
Yeah. And, you know, as a contractor, I mean, people have the contractors have the independence and the freedom to say, I want to do this. Can we do this? Or I don't want to do that anymore. And like, I can't make people do it. Or as a contractor, you know, people can't make you do it. Unlike an employee where it's like, well, this is part of your job. As a contractor, you know, you really have the independence to say, this is what I'm offering your business. I'm offering my skills in guestbooking. I'm offering my skills and my skills in marketing, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, sometimes I have team members that say, you know what, I'm not interested in doing that. And as long as they're fulfilling the purpose and the role of what I need done, then I can't always make them do all this extra stuff.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about filling your subcontracting positions. My podcast isn't actually, I mean, it's to give a resource to the multi-service providers that are using the subcontractors, but I hope too that I can make some connections with people that need applicants or the subcontractors. But how do you find the majority of your subcontractors? Do they come to you?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because over time, you know, I've been in business about 3 years. And so over time, I have found my subcontractors in all different ways. So the early on, I found them through the marketplaces, Elance.com. I think it's now called Upwork. I think they changed their name. So basically, the online marketplaces of freelancers are where I found, originally, where I found a lot of my team members. And actually, three of them that I found via those sites are still with me. And then they've actually recommended people. So they, you know, will tell their friends, oh, I'm working for this great company. It's work at home. It's, you know, independent contractor job. And so then they'll recommend people. So and then another team member was referred to me by one of my current team members. So so basically referrals, the online marketplaces, and now that my business has been growing nicely and I have a good size list, I have almost 1,000 people on my email list. When I'm looking for a new team member, I send an email to my list and I get a ton of people emailing me interested in working for us. So now we have kind of a big enough following where when I say that we're looking for a team member, we have a lot of people reaching out interested,
right.
But the first early on, the main places that we found our team members were through those online marketplaces, and then by way of referral from either the team members that are currently working for the business or friends, you know, other business owners that know people that are looking for work.
Right. And I do think that referral, Elance and or Upwork is fine.
And you have to sift through a lot. I mean, if you're on Elance, I mean, both as a freelancer and as a business owner looking for people to work for you, you really have to, you know, write the role description really well. You have to, I mean, I always got on Skype with people to meet with them and see if it was a good fit working together. But you can find great people, but you've got to go through the steps of making sure that it's someone that's a good fit for you.
Correct. So since you're on that subject, what about the skills? So let's say somebody refers somebody as being a very ethical subcontractor, but they don't necessarily, they don't have their own podcast, they don't have necessarily podcast experience. Would you, after talking with them, would you say, you know what, I'm still willing to work with that subcontractor, or do you specifically ask?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I look for, in my team members, I look for people with the character. The right character is always more important than being educated and trained in podcasting and marketing. You know, it's great if someone comes and like, I love podcasts, but to be completely honest with you, Colette, and with your listeners, most of my team members that have been with me for a long time and do the best work are people that when they came to me, they said, Jessica, to be honest with you, I don't really know what podcasting is all about. But they're people that they value customer service. They have sales skills. They have a really strong work ethic. They take initiative. They're self-starters. That's the big thing about being a subcontractor, especially if you're in a work from home position, you're working virtually. As a business owner, I need people, team members that are taking initiative, because I'm not there next to you at your desk saying, all right, now do this, now do this. You know, you get an assignment of I need you to do XYZ, and you've got to make it happen and figure out how to get it done. Like, the reason a lot of business owners hire independent contractors or contract with subcontractors is because they don't want to be micromanaging and telling people exactly how to do everything. Right. They want to say, this is the purpose I need. There's a purpose of this role. This is what I need done. Use your skills and do it. And so there's always a little bit of, you know, education whenever you work with a business in whatever capacity. I mean, we do that every month when we get a new client, we're learning about real estate investing. We're learning about sales and like whatever our clients are an expert in, we're learning about that. But in general, they're not hiring us and training us on how to do our work. So I'm looking for character and people that, you know, a big one is responsive. Like, if you respond to your emails really quickly, that's huge. That is a big one. Like, if somebody, if somebody says, hey, they're interested in working for us and being a guest booker, if I email them back and don't hear back for over 24 hours, they're out. Because I don't how do I know if they're going to be responsive to my clients if they take a really long time to get back to me?
Sure. And that's a great point. And actually, you and I communicated back and forth. I think you put
and you emailed me right away, and I emailed you right back, and within 36 hours, we're here on the podcast together. So, yeah,
right, yeah, exactly. So, and you know, that's the other thing too. I people that are hiring the subcontractors, just because that person doesn't have that skill, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be a good subcontractor. To a point, there's so much that they can self-teach themselves, learning from you know, your client's work, basically.
And the other thing, Colette, is that from my perspective with what I do in Interview Connections and booking interviews, I see it as a big plus. It's a pro when a team member that comes in to do guest booking doesn't know anything about podcasting, because, like, there's different ways to say it. You know, ignorance is bliss. Or, you know, when you don't know, for example, we're pitching big podcasters. If you don't know who the big celebrity podcasters are, you'll pitch them without thinking that, oh, I don't know if they're going to get back to me. Like, the more I learned about who's who in podcasting, the more, like, the imposter syndrome of, oh, would they really respond to me? But my guest bookers who don't know who these people are, they're just reaching out with the assumption that they'll say yes. So it really goes a long way if you actually don't know a lot about industry, because the more kind of naive, the more open and, I think, ambitious you often are.
Right, exactly. And, you know, never did I think that I'm a bookkeeper, so I took what I knew best and I provided that in my VA business, but here I am creating a podcast and never did I think, but it was because I listened over and over to some of the same podcasters.
Right.
I can do this.
Yeah. And it's so funny because like what I hear in businesses, if we knew how hard or how much stress or how much anxiety was in our future before we started our business or, you know, went into the freelance world or anything like that, we never would have done it. So it's really good to kind of be naive and not really know what to expect, because you kind of put more energy forth when you don't know what kind of tough road is ahead.
Yeah, right, exactly. What about providing, or not providing, well, basically, yeah, providing mm-hmm. work for the subcontractors. Do the majority of your, are they on a permanent basis? Or are they project basis?
Yeah, so they're all, you know, each of them individually are contracted for a certain number of hours per month. And then over that, they bill me for, you know, per hour. They're, you know, at this point, there's a, I can pretty much expect, like the business is pretty, has been going for a while. We have a good number of clients. So I'm able to pretty safely say to most team members, you're going to have this much work. But then I was just saying to someone yesterday, the nature of the business piece is there's always ebbs and flows. There are times and we have so much work and everyone's so busy and I'm saying, I need everyone to work more hours this month than you might usually work. And then there's slow times where you're like, I am sorry. I wish I could give you more work. But like right now, we just lost a bunch of clients and I just don't have the hours to give you. And so that is both the up and the downside of being a contractor is it's not always really steady work. And I mean, the good thing is that you can go out and get other clients, you can go work for other businesses and supplement your income from other ways. But it's not a job where you can be guaranteed a certain number of hours.
Right. And you know, nowadays,
yeah, exactly.
Is safe, to be honest. But you do have to, you know, have enough mm-hmm. clients to back you up.
Right.
Doing
right.
Full time. So. But, you know, but I had a question and it kind of went out in the air here. Oh, you were talking about mm-hmm. Certain times of the year being more busy. So just out of curiosity, what would you say is the busiest month?
So what I will say, I'm not exactly sure what the busiest month is. I think fall tends to be pretty busy because people are kind of out. Like, we're a marketing services agency, so it's an agency model and we offer services that people use for their marketing. Fall tends to be busy because people are out of their summer vacations. They're really geared up and like wanting to close out the year strong. So they're investing a lot. I also tend to run promotions in the fall. I'm like, you know, because as a business owner, you know, you don't want to like, you know, if you end the year with a whole lot of profit, you're going to pay a little bit more taxes. So I'm like, you know, buy our 6-month program mm-hmm. so you're not like paying all these extra taxes on your profit. Right. What we tend to see is in changes, like season changes, we tend to see ups and downs. So going into the summer is tough for us because we offer podcast interviews. And when people are about to go travel, be on vacation, work later schedules because their kids are home, they're like, you know what? If I need to make my schedule a little bit lighter, what's going to go? Podcast interviews, because it's an extra marketing thing that it's not core. It's not a core part of their business. So that's tough for us because if people don't have the time for it, it's kind of the first thing that they nix off their schedule. So that's sure. a little challenging. But, you know, then there's like, you know, Christmas or, and then it always comes up like, oh, I'm writing a book. I need to take some time off. So our, you know, our challenge in our business is just constantly feeding the funnel of new clients coming in, because there's always people that are going to come and go, because it's not something like podcast interviews. It's a marketing expense. It's a marketing investment. So people, you know, who we have clients that love doing it and are with us for months and months and months over, you know, some over 2 years. But typically people come and they do it for, you know, 4 to 6 months, and then either they keep staying with us or, you know, they get distracted, they do something else, or they realize that their strategy's changing and they need to rework some things. So there's always an up and a down. There's always ebbs and flows. And, you know, seasons, like I said, with the fall, people, they really want to do a whole lot. Like, we had a client in October who said, I want to do 20 interviews by the end of the year. And so they hired us to do 20 interviews, and we haven't talked to him in a few months. So kind of, yeah, yeah. So people, they get really, really motivated. They want to do a whole lot, and then they need to scale back. So, yeah.
Right, yeah. Let's do a kind of a shout out for some of those podcasters, or let's hone in on the virtual assistants. Are there some that are very consistent that you
Yes. Well, I would love to give a shout out to my good friend, Natalie Ekdahl. I actually just interviewed her for my show, The Podcast Producers, just last night. She's a good friend of mine, and she is a mom of three and a business owner. Her show, Biz Chicks with an X. She's been doing that well over 200 episodes, I think over 2 years. Very, you know, just consistent podcast. She offers, you know, coaching and masterminds, and all with, you know, being a mom and working at home. And so she's really great. And then our other mutual friend, Katie Kremitzos, has the Biz Women Rock podcast, and she also has been podcasting for a couple of years. And then I also mentioned my friend Lindsay Phillips of Smooth Sailing Online Support. She has a virtual assistant business, you know, and she has a whole team of subcontractors, and then people come to her business to get VA type services. And then she's also has just started a podcast as well.
Wow. And you know, I love podcasts, and I can't, for some reason, for the life of me, I cannot do YouTube videos. It's got to be a podcast. And I listen to them while I'm doing the laundry or doing the dishes. And I end up listening to a couple of them over and over again because, you yeah. know, I go, what did they say? Or how did you do this? So it's a mm-hmm. great way to mm-hmm. learn as well. So
yeah.
Kudos to those people
for definitely. You
know, staying consistent with it. How do you collaborate with your subcontractors?
Yes.
Do you have any special
I was so excited for this question because I'm like, yes.
Programs?
So as I mentioned, my whole team, we all work from home. We're all over the country. We do have a couple team members that are in the Dominican Republic. One of them is a U.S. citizen, but he lives there. They're down there doing missionary work. And then one, Natalie, is from the U.K. originally. But we're all in the United States for the most part, all over the country. We are represented in all four time zones of the United States. And we use a couple
cool.
tools. So Slack is the main tool that we use to communicate with each other. It's an application where you can instant message with each other. So direct messaging with each team member, and then also we have, you know, channels. So the general channels, we can just all talk to each other about bids and stuff. And then we have specific channels that, you know, if you want to talk specifically about this topic, you would talk about it in that channel. So kind of keeps the communication organized, because when you're in email, then there's threads, and just basically takes all the communication you would have with your team out of email into one place. And then we also use Zoom, which is video conferencing. So, I mean, Skype has video conferencing, but Skype really doesn't work well if you have more than two people, three max, on a video call. So Zoom is a great way we all get on a video meeting. So right now we're moving to where, you know, the first and third Mondays of the month, we're getting on a video call for about 15 minutes to all chat with each other. And then occasionally, you know, one, two, three people of the team might have something that they need to talk about together. So between Zoom and Slack, that's mainly how we communicate with each other. And we have a whole bunch of other tools that we use in our businesses, like HiRise and Basecamp and things like that. But those are the tools that we use to actually collaborate with each other.
Okay. And how do the subcontractors keep track of their time? Do you let them keep track of it, or do you like them to have it?
Yeah, so they all do it on their own. Some of them, a lot of people that work for me, this is the first independent contractor job they've had. So sometimes I will give some tips on the early on, like if you don't know how to invoice, or if you don't know, I usually direct them to other members of the team. I'm like, go ask so-and-so who's been, you know, like, because I right. haven't been in I haven't had to track hours for any work for a while. So I usually say, hey, connect with this person. They can support you as a peer and tell you what to do. So I don't make them track hours through any of my systems. There's a lot of, like, I know some of them will just use the clock on their iPhone, and they'll just start it and stop it when they're working and then tally up the hours at the end of the day. So I'm not sure exactly what all they use. A tool that I used to use is called myhours.com. FreshBooks has a time tracker. And then basically I just make them invoice me at the end of the month. So on the first of the month, they'll send me a PDF document that shows me, you know, how many hours they work doing what task. And it's, you know, honor system. If I didn't think anyone was being honest with me, then if I had any doubts, then they wouldn't work with me.
You know, yeah, you'll know. So the majority of your subcontractors are actually paid via hours right. versus project.
Yeah, correct? One, my marketing person does, okay. it's more flat rate with the different marketing stuff she does for me. But yeah, other than that, it's mostly hours.
Yep. Okay. Well, and I've got a couple contractors. There's only one that actually pays me by project, but the mm-hmm. rest of them, I
yeah.
do track my hours as well. But that's kind of an interesting.
Yeah, and it's tough to know, like with guest booking, it just changes. You know, some clients, you can serve them in 5 minutes, and others it takes hours of research. So I mean, I've thought about doing it differently with project based, but ultimately, I think the hours is the most fair for everyone involved.
All right. Well, now that we're talking about time and hours, I think I don't normally like.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a talker. I always make people go a little bit longer.
Oh, no, that is completely fine. I could go on and on, but
yes.
we need to come to an end here. So can you please tell my guests where they could
yes,
find out?
Yes, my
more
main
about
website
you?
Is Jessica Rhodes. That's Rhodes, jessicarhodes.biz. Links to all my other sites you can find there. So jessicarhodes.biz.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jessica. And just so my audience is aware, they can go back to my site at savvysubcontracting.com. And I believe this podcast will probably be up in June of 2016. So the show notes and some of the links to Jessica will be available for you to review. And be sure to come back to my podcast for many more guests that have provided unique services and using the subcontracting concept.
Thanks for having me.
Jessica, for coming on the show.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.